pace with We Can Make It. Now, it's just coming up to 11:07, and I'm joined in the studio by Penny Hollington from Hollington Associates, which is an independent specialist recruiter within the office support market, working with clients and candidates throughout Essex. Penny, you remember, was here last year to talk about the firewalk.
Yes, indeed.
I can't remember if I actually went across the coals or I just took pictures of people.
Yeah, well, we're still going to get you, Michelle. Yeah, we're still going to get you.
You'll get me eventually. Now, we're going to talk about covering letters and CVs and also school leavers. So, you know, it's really difficult at the moment across the board when you're putting CVs together and getting things ready to get out there back into a job market, whether you're a school leaver and you're starting for the first time.
Absolutely.
Or you've been a mum and you've taken a bit of a break, because everything has really changed.
Yes.
You can't just go in with this dodgy bit of letter that you've written like years ago where you would have had jobs. There were so many jobs available, you could literally walk out from one job to another, and it isn't that way anymore.
Yeah, very true. I mean, I started, oh, I never like to say this out loud, I started back in 94 in good old Romford, so yeah, a place close to my heart. And yes, the market in the 20 odd years that I've been working has completely changed in all respects, really. So we are now very technology based. Job boards are now everywhere, and a lot of people are using job boards to get their CV out there. A lot of companies are using job boards to recruit. So if that's your first contact, you need to make sure that you're representing yourself as well as you can. So the quality and the purpose of your CV is far stronger than it ever was before. You're relying on that really to get your foot in the door somewhere.
Yeah. Now, we had the BT apprenticeships, which we got over 100 or 1,000, I can't remember, applications actually.
Well, the apprenticeships, as I said, it's become a very big way, a big way of younger people to be able to enter into the job market. But I think you really have to treat it as you would do any applying for any job. So again, if you're going through an apprenticeship provider or you're applying directly, again, you need to make sure that your CV is put together as well as it can be. Even little things like spelling mistakes, you know, those are critical. That could be the reason that you're put in the no pile. So your CV has to be as strong as it can be, and you normally have the opportunity to provide a cover letter, and I would always stress that that's a great opportunity to put your point across as to why you're interested in the job role, and you're able to put in a covering letter maybe some of the key things about yourself and why you think you would be suitable. It really should be the prompt for someone to then want to look at your CV because you've engaged with them in your covering letter.
It's very interesting. You can ask 100 people for advice about your CV, and everyone will give you different advice. The reality is there's not a hard fire rule about what a CV should look like, but I can give people sort of top tips of how it should be put together, what should be in there, how much information should be in there, and really just make sure that it's an attention grabber. So apparently someone will look at your CV for 7 seconds, I remember reading. So 7 seconds is not very long. You need to make sure that it's attention grabbing enough, and the most important information is very easy for someone to see very quickly.
Actually, I still think a profile, if it's well written, a real attention grabber, because really it's almost like if you were meeting someone for the very first time, how would you sum yourself up in a few sentences? It should be the reason that people then want to read the rest of your CV and then want to engage with you further. So I recommend a profile is on there, but it needs to be very personal to you and make it very clear of really who you are, what you're good at, what you've done, what you want to do next. So really just a good summary of you as an individual.
If there are 4 pages on a CV, but now should it just everything you've done, doesn't matter how old you are, should be 1 page?
Do you know, again, there's not really a hard, fast rule. I think if everything on your CV is relevant, then if it's 2-3 pages, I don't think there's a problem with that. I don't think a CV should ever be like a book. And I've seen some of those before. But actually some 1-page CVs can be, again, if it's put together well and everything is in there that's relevant, that can be just as good. So it's really about making sure that everything in there is relevant to you and your background and experience.
Now, it's obviously hard market out there for young people who are just leaving school.
Yeah, certainly. I think the profile, again, whether you've come out of university, whether you've left education and you're looking for that first opportunity, for every company that might want someone with a degree, there'll be a company that's not so essential. So actually the work experience you've built up while you were studying or once you've left school, anything you've done is all going to really help your case. So if you haven't been to university but you've been, you know, doing some work, that work experience could actually be a real positive. And if you're out of university and you've done work experience while you were studying, all of those things add to your profile. So again, the profile will help explain where you are, what you've done, whether you're coming out of education, what you're looking to do next. So actually there's opportunity for everybody, whether you've got a degree or not, and I can help people either way. So
covering letters.
Yes.
Because normally you just say, I'm applying for this job and I think I would be suitable because.
I think the covering letter should be quite short and snappy. But what I'm always looking for when I see a covering, I think one, it shows that you've actually taken some time with your application. So you're serious about looking for a job. Mm. It gives you a chance to, again, just to give an overview of yourself. But you're actually saying that I've read your job description, I've read about your company, and these are the reasons I think I would be good for you and this role. So you've actually taken time to match yourself and your skills and qualities against a certain role.
Yep.
Your CV then is the next stage of expanding on your experience. But the covering letter just shows you've taken time and you've shown interest and you're matching yourself against the role. And you're actually giving them more reasons why they should consider you. Mm. The thing never to do is have the same cover letter for everything.
Yep.
Because obviously we know then it's been a bit copy and pasted and you're just sending out because you've got one. So it's really important it's personal to each application.
For young people, there probably is a difference now where you have to be very careful what you put on your Twitter, on your Facebook page, because employers can find it.
Absolutely, and yes, it's a real change in probably when I started in recruitment to now, and social media is the thing that's changed beyond all recognition. The advice I would give, first of all, your email address, your personal email address. If you're out there looking for work, just be conscious of what your email address is. Sometimes when younger people might have a bit of a crazy email address that might not be quite so professional. Mm. So look at your email address and make sure it's right for the professional world. And again, with social media, if companies will look at social media, people will have seen you probably somewhere if you're there. Just make sure that anything out in social media is representing you in the way that you would like to be represented. So just be very conscious of what you're putting out there, because people will see it and it could affect decisions about whether someone might find you employable or not.
Yeah, and the sad thing is because once it's out on the internet, even if you go for a job 10 years down the line, that they can still find things.
That's absolutely.
And it's really hard for young people now because they write their whole lives on everything from breakups to music they like to people, the politics they don't like, and it's then there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just something you need to be really, really aware of, because it is part used. I know for some companies will use it as part of their recruitment process, and part of that will be whether there's profiles out there which will give an impression of whether that person's going to be a good employee for them. So absolutely, you need to consider all of those things if you're out there starting to look for work.
Now, one of the questions I used to always ask if I was employees is, why do you want to work here, or where do you see yourself in 5 years? So when people come to you and they get advice, do you actually run through the things that you know sometimes that employees will throw these questions out and it catches people off guard?
It does, yeah, and I do work with people to help prepare people for interview, and yes, it is though some of those questions, but sometimes I think people might ask you a question and it's not intentional to throw you, but I think sometimes you're like, oh, I just don't know where to start with that answer. So there are some certain things that you will always be asked, and I can help people with those sort of questions. A lot of preparation really for an interview is more around making sure that you've really researched the company, that you know as much about them as you can find out, because again, that information now is very easy to find. That you know who's interviewing you, and you know a little bit about them and their backgrounds, and maybe how long they've worked for the company. Employers just really want to see that you've actually taken some time and consideration and prepared yourself properly.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily want you to recite their own website back to them because they probably know, but just that you've taken the time and interest, that this is who the company is and this is what they do, and that you've thought about why you think that you would be a good addition to their team.
Yeah.
And you can actually use some real tangible things. So the other tips for the whole process is exactly make sure everything is, get people to look at it for you. Again, it's something that I offer as one of my services, but definitely get someone to look at it and just double check that you've spelt everything correctly. Actually, doing your own CV is still one of the hardest things. We're not very good necessarily at selling ourselves, and actually there's lots of things that skills people have that they don't actually think to put on there. So it's always good to talk to other people to get help with the content and how it looks, and spell checks is very important. And then just really on the preparation for the interview, and even on the day, things like, you know, do you know where you're going? Have you planned how you're going to get to the company? Are you allowing enough time? If your trains or buses cancelled, have you got enough time that you can get, you know, you can allow for anything that might happen? Turning up late for an interview is got to be one of the worst. It's very hard to resolve that. If you're late for an interview, it's unlikely you'll actually get seen. And it's kind of one of those fairly unforgivable things, unless it was something that was completely out of anyone's control. So I always suggest people get to an interview a good 15 minutes early, so when they're actually waiting to be seen, you've got time to calm yourself and, you know, put yourself together and make sure that you're ready when that person comes up to meet you. And first impressions, very, very important. So things like a good handshake, being able to interact with whoever's interviewing you, you know, make some small talk, all those things. First impressions, you know, everyone says that within 10 seconds people quite often have made their mind up whether they like this person or not. So first impressions, very critical. I do quite a lot of work with people to help them with that.
Certainly looking at me sitting here in a pair of jeans and training. But then I am on the radio.
We are on the radio.
I could be wearing a suit. You don't know out there. I could be looking fantastic.
She's not looking too bad.
Now, Penny, it's Hollington Associates. Yes. If people are looking to get back into, is it mainly sort of office work you cover, or do you cover?
I specialise in within the office support market. So when I initially started in recruitment back in the day, it was very much around admin, reception, PAs, office managers. A lot of those roles have changed now and are very different. So really anything that's an office-based support role, so that might be accounts, marketing, sales administrator, facilities, anything that sits within an office function that's a support role, I can help. And with candidates, you know, with interview coaching, CVs, I can actually really help anybody. So I'm very open to talk to school leavers right up to experienced professionals. And I think, as you said, I think if you're going into the job market, back into the job market, and you haven't had to look for a job for 20 years, it's very different. So it's helping people as to how to reapproach that, really, and set them up ready, really, to be making sure they're representing themselves, to make themselves job ready, really.
And there's nothing like the excitement when you get the phone call and you get, you've got it, and you go, yes.
Well, you know what, I've been doing this a long time, and I think if that wasn't the thing that still made me very happy, I don't think I'd be doing this job. But but, you know, working with a client for the first time and finding them a really good person is still why I do what I do. And equally, someone who's maybe been struggling to find a job, and I can create that opportunity for them, it, you know, that phone call is a great buzz. So that's what I really enjoy.